The rest of the evening is really to deepen and further what we've already done, and that is to engage our hearts with God's as he reaches to touch, but also that we would engage our imagination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a portion of the scripture that was read earlier, and we're going to just kind of weave it, some of it vivid, some of it poetic, and some of it hopefully all of it speaking to the heart. So I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 2. It said, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Then suddenly was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angels praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace to those on whom his favor rests. On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. What I want to do is I want to look at a couple of the words here, and I want to take that last phrase, on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. As I was working through the scripture, and this phrase just jumped off the page at me, and I began to recite it in my heart, and I began to contemplate, what does this mean? What does it mean? Peace on whom his favor rests. And so I looked at the original text. In the Greek, this word peace has God's restorative plan in it. It says to join, to tie together into a whole, to bring or be brought into wholeness. When all of the essential parts are joined together, this is peace, and it's God's gift of wholeness. You see, with this coronation of Jesus' birth, where sin had separated and scattered, love now assembles. As God's loving mercy is expressed in the gracious offer of the Father through the Son, his hands now reaching to gather all that was and is broken. And all this to make something new, something arresting in its appeal. This is the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to salvation, prepared for us in heaven before the world was even formed. And this incredible truth, this peace, is distinctly peculiar to and known nowhere else, nor by any other means but in Jesus. For this is for any and all who would come and believe and follow. So we might ask the question, what is this peace of God in Christ? It is the tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Jesus. And so those who have it fear nothing from God, knowing that they are assured of his graces and his mercies and his love and his affections. And now these people, these ones who received this peace, on whom this peace rests and resides, they're oddly content with their earthly lot, no matter what that lot might be. Because the peace that comes through Christ is not what we assemble and have here, but our peace is in the one who is gathering and assembling us here and now for himself to have. And so this word for peace is used for those who, assured of salvation, in peace and tranquility of heart, await the return of Christ and the transformation of all things, which will accompany the event of his coming. And so this peace comes to a beautiful result in the hearts of those loved. It creates in the heart a security that is now because it is based in an eternal truth, an eternal safety and prosperity, a joyful felicity, because we are now at peace with God our Father and in harmony with his life, in his life-giving spirit, who makes and keeps us by grace, giving us confident assurance of our place in Christ Jesus. So on earth, here too, now as opposed to or only in heaven, this peace now even resides in us now, not just what we are looking forward to, but what we experience today. This place of mankind's dwelling, here on earth, all who inhabit it, the whole of it, everything that has been made, everything that walks upon it, all that inhabit this earth, that suffer in frailty and infirmity, all alike. So peace to all who inhabit the earth, on whom his favor rests, that God would come to that which he has created and formed and made to restore all things to his good and gracious side, the making of all things new. So peace to all who inhabit the earth. Peace to those and on those on whom the effect of sin has wreaked havoc and harmed and maimed. To these have come the salve of healing. To those who crave his merciful, gracious, and refreshing and reviving company comes the touch of life. To those whom the way of peace is foreign, whose lives are so adversely affected, pockmarked with the scars of sin's relentless assault, the offer of peace and forgiveness. And those who are searching for relief of such weight, to see purpose in a day's existence beyond the licking of the wounds that are always fresh, comes the hope upon hope of eternity's gate, which is grace in Jesus. To those of every nation and tribe and people and language, all who have been made in the splendid image of God but seem marginalized and rejected, he now offers the dignity of person, acceptance, and love's selfish belonging. This peace is for all who would see and hear and receive God's love. Here in the lap of a virgin lie the coming of God's mercy, the fulfillment of a promise. On whom God's favor rests. That peace rests on and resides in those whom are God's good pleasure and delight. He takes pleasure and delight in who he has made and who he calls and who will receive him. We might ask, how can this be? Why would this be? Because it is God's delight. It was his delight to make mankind and good pleasure to bring us back to himself, to restore for himself a people glad to be a part of him and his kingdom. So to all who would delight in God's reaching out, to all who would receive what it is that Jesus offers, that is peace with God and communion with him. His peace now rests on and resides in them, solidifying the assurance we have in the peace we have received. But not just that because we have peace, but because in life, peace's experience and feelings of its effect can be fleeting as the moment's stress. But that peace is because it is peace that God has established. He has made right our relationship with him. He has set us at peace with him. We are now right with him. So peace, this peace is established and is now true and lasting. And in so, it undergirds the welfare of the mind and the heart, even when we're shaken. It is by the truth, this peace having been established by God, that makes it true and lasting as the covenant he made between himself and us, those who receive it, and give quarter to it, to allow it to rest and reside in us. That on the advent of this new day dawning, the overwhelming truth that God's mercies are new every morning. That it is through the babe, the Christ child's yawning, those new mercies come. Mercy escorting in the gracious gift of love and life offered. In the still small hands of this new babe fawning, a child, a king. And this mercy newly minted for a day such as this can now be had and known and accompanied by love's gracious atoning. And we are who? We have who are his. We are his, purchased with grace. And there are two things left as we place this in eternity scope. Having embraced the Son and following him true, we walk close and love him much, having been loved much. And as we love our King and the one another, we give away that which we've been given. And giving what's been given that we might get more, that we might give more. And lastly, we now wait, our eyes lifted up and with creation's new groaning for the coming mercies of the days now dawning. When the angels had left the shepherds and gone into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord God has made known to us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger after they had seen the child. They spread the message that they had received about him. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. See, and that's where I'd like to pause for a moment. That we might be truly amazed. That we might recognize what it is, who it is that Jesus is, and what it is he has done, and how it is that he came. That we would not only treasure this in our heart, but we allow it to seep in and develop and establish the peace that he's so promised. And in being astonished and being blown away by this, that now we go on and we share and we give that which we've been given and we share what we know and have experienced, and that we would treasure it in our hearts. It says, the shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as the angels had told them. New this fine morning, this new day dawning. Lamentations 3:22-23 puts it this way. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail, and his mercies are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of our God. His mercies are new every morning.